Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, 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 welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. I'm Lauren Campbell. I am your host today. I cover Boston sports for NESN. I have been in this crazy wild Boston media scene now for almost 7 years. Born and raised in the Boston area, so I love, love, love being able to come on here and talk to you about the Red Sox from a fan's point of view, from a reporter's point of view, and a very curious what the heck is going to happen in this free agency offseason kind of person. So in this episode today, I will be talking about Nick Castellanos, a big name free agent who is officially a free agent. He opted out of his deal on Thursday. So we'll discuss if he is a good fit for the Red Sox. Where does he fit into this lineup? What kind of has to happen in order for the Red Sox to maybe take a run at this guy? And per usual, we will end this show on a positive note. So let's just jump right into this. Castellanos decided to opt out of his deal on Thursday, so he is officially a free agent, and he joins a pretty stacked class. So he joins Freddie Freeman, but it sounds like he wants to stay with the Atlanta Braves, Carlos Correa, Chris Bryant, and possibly JD Martinez. He has to decide whether he wants to opt in or out of his contract with the Red Sox. He has one more year left on that deal. So would Castellanos make sense for the Red Sox? And the short answer is yes, but in order for that to happen, JD Martinez would have to opt out and the Red Sox probably would not re-sign him. JD Martinez probably would go somewhere else, so that means you lose JD Martinez. But there is upside to bringing in a player like Castellanos, and it's kind of obvious. He's really, really good. He had a really bad 2020, but he certainly bounced back this year. This was the best season of his career in 2021. He had career highs in batting average with 309. His OPS was 939. He had 34 home runs. And he ranked 13th among all qualified hitters in baseball. So if he were to sign with the Red Sox, I feel like he'd just slide right into the middle of the lineup, just right in the heart of that order. And honestly, he'd probably be a 30, maybe 30 plus home run hitter. I really like what he can do with a bat in his hand. He's dangerous. We've seen what he can do. And also, it was nice to see him bounce back after a dreadful 2020. We all know that some of us like to say that the 2020 season just doesn't count, and we're not putting too much stock into it because it was a 60-game season. It was really hard to kind of judge what the players really had. Some of the players battled COVID. Some players missed the entire season. So to see him bounce back and be the player that we kind of know that he is was reassuring. And obviously, this was a contract year for him. He played his way into probably a hefty payday. Nice little pay raise for Castellanos. But as good as his bat is and as good a player he is and how probably a really good fit he'd be for the Red Sox, there is a financial hurdle here. So he's opting out of the final 2 years of his four-year deal. So he's leaving $34 million on the table. That is a lot of money to walk away from. But when you're confident in yourself and you have a career high year and you just have a career year, you're probably pretty confident walking away from that and being able to make more. So because he's walking away from that, he's obviously looking for a little pay raise, probably looking for a little bit of a longer term, and this probably is his final chance at a big contract. So you would think maybe a little pay raise there of maybe $20 million per season, and he's also represented by super agent Scott Boras, and you probably know who Scott Boras is. He represents a lot of people, including JD Martinez. He always wants the best and the most money for his clients, and this is why people have him. This is why he is a good at what he does. So it wouldn't be surprising to see kind of Castellanos maybe demand like 20 mil, maybe 19, but I think he's going to be set at making at least 20 million per season. So because he's opting out of his deal, the Reds now can extend a $18.4 million qualifying offer to Castellanos, which he probably will reject. I don't see him, if he opts out of this deal, he's not going to take an $18.4 million qualifying offer. However, once they send him the qualifying offer and Castellanos rejects it, that means whatever team Castellanos decides to sign with, they'd have to cough up a 2022 draft pick. So that might be a little hurdle there for the Red Sox. They have, you know, they're pretty committed to this long-term stability kind of thing they have going on right now. So it wouldn't surprise me if that were the case, if they were like, no, we want to stay away from Castellanos, not because of the money, but because there is a draft pick attached to that. And when Dave Dombrowski was named the president of baseball operations, we knew what he was going to do. We knew he was going to come in here, kind of blow up the farm system, and it was going to take a while to rebuild. And that's where we're at right now. There are some really good prospects in there. There's some good draft picks the Red Sox have, and they want to set themselves themselves up for the future? Do they want to kind of push back their longer-term plans and sign Castellanos by giving up a draft pick? I don't know. As good as an offensive player Castellanos is, there's 100% no denying that. He's a below-average outfielder. He's mostly played right field, and the Red Sox have Hunter Renfro there, so, and he looked pretty good out there, especially at Fenway. I doubt the Red Sox will want to move Hunter Renfro over. I mean, he had a lot of outfield assist out there. He's up for a Gold Glove. So I don't see Hunter Renfro or Alex Verdugo moving to center field just to add Castellanos into that outfield mix there. Of course, you think of the production that lineup could do if that was your outfield. Like, that would just be incredibly powerful offensive lineup, 100%. But there would be a lot of shuffling around, kind of who goes where, who plays where. But they'd probably want to sign Castellanos as their DH. But then this goes back to addressing other areas of need for the Red Sox. And you probably could get some sort of DH platoon. And there's probably cheaper options out there who maybe even offer a little more versatility when it comes to position-wise. And the Red Sox 100% could do worse than Castellanos. 100%. He would complement the rest of this lineup. There's no denying that. But when the Red Sox certainly need to address their starting pitching and their bullpen, it makes you wonder if they're going to be a little frugal with their money or a little more strategic with their money and their spending and see how they address their top needs. That, you know, red blinking light, like, hello, we need pitching. We saw this all last season. We've seen this season after season. It's a tale as old as time when it comes to the pitching. Would I want Castellanos on the Red Sox? Heck yeah. Who wouldn't want a player like Castellanos on their team? Will I be mad if the Red Sox don't sign him because they want to use that money to address the areas of pitching? Absolutely not. I mean, the ultimate best case scenario is they can sign Castellanos and some pitching, but a girl can dream. I doubt that will happen. But for any of that to even try to be considered, JD Martinez has to opt out. There's also the new collective bargaining agreement. There's a lot of things that are going to happen this offseason that could really impact what the Red Sox do. Not just the Red Sox, but other MLB teams across the league. So it's a big, big what if. I do think he would be a good fit for this team. I think that, again, if JD Martinez were to opt out, he could slide right into that DH role, have a really solid bat in that lineup, and he could really do some damage. The Red Sox could do a lot of damage with him in the lineup, and at times, especially throughout the postseason, it wasn't necessarily the pitching that was always the problem. We saw people strike out with bases loaded. We saw the Red Sox not be able to push runners across the plate when they were in scoring position. So time will tell. This is going to be a very fun and a very interesting offseason for the Red Sox. I think it's going to be busy. You know, I think that people are still a little burned by the trade deadline, but the past is the past. We are on to 2022. We're on to this offseason, and the Red Sox have a lot of decisions to make, so we'll see where this goes. Coming up in our second segment of Locked On Red Sox, we will talk about Kyle Schwarber deciding to decline his $11.5 million option and kind of what that means for the Red Sox going forward. Do we think he will come back and re-sign with the Red Sox? A little bit of stuff to break down there, so we will get to that in our second segment of Locked On Red Sox. But first, I want to tell you how much I love Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite, if not the favorite holiday of mine. All of the good food, the good desserts, there's so many of them. But maybe you want something that's a little yummier, but that is not so full of sugar and calories. It's the perfect time for Built Bars because Built Bar is the newest holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. What's wrong with that? Low calorie, low carb, low fat, and high protein. And there's so many flavors from Built Bars to choose from. You probably know me enough by now to know that I absolutely love Built Bar. It is so good for if you're on the go or just need to kind of cure that sweet tooth and that craving for something sweet. And some of them are also covered in 100% real chocolate. Built Bar is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or maybe even two. Share some at your family gatherings because it may make things a little less awkward because we always know there's some sort of drama surrounding family holidays. And we have new surprises all month, limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so please check out that site early and often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday, so mark your calendars because Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of the day. So on Friday, we got our first bigger piece of Red Sox news in the offseason. Kyle Schwarber decided to decline his $11.5 million mutual option, so he will hit the free agent market. This really comes as no surprise because he's coming off arguably his best career or his best year of his career, and he's certainly worth more than $11.5 million, so I think that's great. I think it was to be expected. I don't think there was any surprises surrounding his declining the option there. And I think through his 41 games in Boston that fans and the higher-ups with the Red Sox got a pretty decent look at what he can do. He hit .291 with 7 home runs and 18 RBI in 41 games with the Red Sox. He really helped stabilize the offense, and he was really good in the clubhouse. You know, he obviously had the 2-run homer against the Yankees in the wild card game. He had the grand slam in the ALCS against the Astros. And like I said, he was just really good in the clubhouse. He really took to being quote-unquote Kyle from Waltham. He really kind of embraced Boston and who he was here. And he said after the ALCS ended that he would love to stay with the Red Sox because it was a World Series clubhouse. This team wanted to win, and this is something he wanted to be a part of. However, because he declined his offer and is going to hit the market and probably make a lot more than 11.5 mil, I think that decreases his chance in re-signing with the Red Sox. But especially if MLB decides to adopt the universal DH throughout the whole entire league, it may make it a little harder for Schwarber to re-sign here with the Red Sox. And he spent all of his career before coming to Boston in the National League. But if this universal DH does get adopted and it becomes a new rule in the league, he becomes more valuable to the American League now and certainly will garner a hefty pay raise there. But much like the case we made with Nick Castellanos in the first segment, should JD Martinez decide to opt out of his deal, re-signing Schwarber might not be a bad idea. So essentially, JD Martinez and his decision really kind of dictates what the Red Sox will do going forward, whether it's Nick Castellanos, whether it's Kyle Schwarber. JD Martinez's decision has a lot of weight to it. And Martinez opting out would probably increase the likelihood Schwarber would sign. It probably wouldn't increase it too much, just increase it a teeny tiny bit. It doesn't mean it's going to be a guarantee like JD Martinez opts out and then minutes later we'll get the breaking news of Kyle Schwarber re-signing a deal. And it's kind of like Nick Castellanos as well. It's, you know, you do lose JD Martinez should he opt out. You lose the DH and the outfield kind of versatility. You're going to get that with both Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos. It's just a matter of, are you platooning somebody? Are you moving somebody out of the outfield? Are you going to move Kike out of the outfield and make him your permanent second baseman? What do you do with Christian Arroyo? There are a lot of moving pieces and a lot of what ifs. So there are a lot of questions to be answered should JD Martinez opt out and you go to sign Kyle Schwarber or Nick Castellanos. But let's pretend JD Martinez decides to opt into the final year of his deal. It's probably very unlikely that Kyle Schwarber will not re-sign in Boston because it makes it a little harder to find his place in the lineup. They made it work for a little while last season, but in a 162-game regular season, that's going to be very hard to leave one of them out of the lineup. They're both power hitters. They've come in clutch for the Red Sox. Fans have been very accustomed to JD Martinez and what he can do. And same with Kyle Schwarber. And you don't want to sit somebody if they're in the middle of a hot streak to go with somebody else. It becomes very messy in a very weird situation. Probably something the Red Sox want to stay away from. But I think, you know, should Kyle Schwarber re-sign, I think that it'd be a welcome addition. I think fans would be happy. But at the end of the day, it comes down to JD Martinez and what he wants to do. We will not know what he plans to do the latest is Sunday. He has Sunday until 5 p.m. So we probably won't know until Sunday. I'd be very, very surprised if he decided before them. But you never know. Anything can happen in the offseason. But any way you slice it, whether it's Castellanos, whether it's Kyle Schwarber, it's going to come down to JD Martinez's decision. Because if you get JD Martinez to opt in, he's making $19.35 mil, and then you don't have a whole lot of money to work with there. However, if he does opt out, all of a sudden you have a little bit more flexibility. Either way, though, I think this could be a win-win for the Red Sox, whether JD opts out or opts in. Because if he opts in, you're getting JD. If he opts out, you could make a run at Castellanos, or you could re-sign Schwarber, who you know wants to be with the Red Sox. It's already shaping up to be a fun and a lot of questions already in this offseason, and it's only a few days in, so it's only going to get wilder, and not just with the Red Sox, but throughout the league. There are a lot of big-name free agents out there this offseason, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Coming up in our third and final segment, I will end this show on a positive note, because it's Friday, it's the weekend, and we are ready to have a great weekend. But first, I want to tell you about betonline.ag because we're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all of the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website and sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. We talked about Nick Castellanos. We talked about Kyle Schwarber. We talked about a little bit of the free agent class and JD Martinez. So let's end this show on a positive note. And that is, we are getting some news now into the offseason. I think we're going to see a lot more activity over the weekend. The people who need to opt in or out have until Sunday to decide. So a lot of eyes are on JD Martinez. But even if JD Martinez decides to opt out, do not be too sad about it, because the Red Sox still could re-sign him. They could sign him to a longer term deal, maybe worth a little bit more money than he's making right now. But there's also so many good free agents on this market that maybe signing one of those would kind of not make losing JD feel so bad. So it won't be the end of the world. It certainly would stink. I don't want to see JD Martinez go. However, if you are able to replace him with an adequate bat, somebody who's got power behind it, someone who can slot right into the lineup and stabilize the offense, then it's not going to be so bad. It will always stink losing someone like JD. Alex Cora obviously loves him. He's well respected in the clubhouse. He's been so helpful to people like Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts even. And he's just a veteran who knows the game in and out, and he takes a lot of pride in his swing in the game. And those kind of players, you know, they're rare. They're hard to come by. So it would stink losing him in that aspect, but if you are able to kind of replace that offense, it's going to be okay. That will do it for Friday's episode of Locked On Red Sox. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. Be sure to find me on Twitter at lalalalauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's, the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at @LO_RedSox, and find all of my work on NESN.com. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox. When you subscribe, you'll never miss an episode. Even if we drop it at 4 a.m., 7 p.m., midnight, you will always know if you subscribe to Locked On Red Sox. And be sure to check out all the other amazing Locked On shows across our network. Locked On Diamondbacks, Locked On Yankees, Locked On Astros. They all do an incredible job there. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen of the day, please go make Locked On MLB your second listen with Paul Francis Sullivan, my good friend Sully. He'll bring you his unique perspective on the major leagues, both past and present. It's free and available on all platforms. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.